I too would like to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's that name that gives us the power to live a victorious Christian life. It's that name that gives us the joy that we can worship together. It's good to be here with you this morning at 4th Avenue. It seems like it's been a long time. And I thought about, we ended Sunday school by talking about the open doors of opportunity and how many open doors and the opportunities that life throws at us. And the opportunities that this congregation has had to start another congregation. Last time I was here, it was full. It was packed. And you're filling up again. There's people here that I probably don't know very well. New faces. So it's good to see each one here. And I'm just so thankful we can serve the same Lord and the same God this morning. I like that thought of open door, because I want to talk about a door this morning. It kind of connects with the thoughts that I had, that the decisions that life gives us, just the little decisions that you make every day and how much it just affects life tremendously. I like to watch people's lives. I like to watch older people that have made decisions before me and watch how they raise their families. And watch the way they turn out. And then I look at my life and I think back through all the little decisions in life, just little ones, and how they just changed my whole life, all from just a little decision. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. I was reading this account about Abraham, and I was struck with a phrase. And I chose to develop that phrase and try to draw some thoughts from it this morning. Genesis 18, verse 1, says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." And this morning I would just like to talk about sitting in the door of my tent. It just struck me as I read that phrase, like, why was that little phrase put in there, that he was sitting in his tent door? And I realize the culture was probably different. Maybe that's where he spent his time. He probably did. But my thought this morning is we have doors in our life. Doors of opportunity that are wide open, but there's doors in our life that we need to guard. And that we need to be careful what comes in. The doors of my life. The door of my family life. The doors of my home. The doors of our church life. Are we sitting in the doors of my tent? I'd like just to stop and to consider just a little bit of Abraham and Lot. We have two men that were the same age. Somehow we always think of Abraham being the old man, Lot being the young man, and Lot following Abraham around. He followed him around. We're going to look at that this morning. But they were close to the same age. They had the same opportunities in life. It's like me and Tim. We are close to the same age. Even though we live two separate lives, but he can observe my life and I can observe his life. And I can try to compare myself to Tim. I can't measure up. Maybe that's how Abraham and Lot felt. They looked at each other and they tried to say who's ahead in life financially. Maybe they compared themselves. We see, I'd like to look back in a few verses. I'd like to go back into Genesis. Oh, we're going to go back to chapter 11, I believe. Now, they were the same years, but how Abraham was the leader, and it seemed like that everywhere Abraham went, Lot followed along. And we're going to look at their life, and then we're going to stop and think about ways that our life can compare to theirs. In chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, Sarai his daughter-in-law, the son of Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees, and to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." So we have them going forth. And in chapter 12, verse 4, "So Abraham departed as the Lord spoke unto him, and Lot went with him." I get this picture, and we can just keep going through these chapters building up here. that Lot follows along. Chapter 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. Verse 4, we have Abraham establishing that connection with God. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Lot was there, but it doesn't say Lot also. It just says Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And we're just kind of going through here and picking out some verses that talks about just little decisions that they made in life and where it took them at the end of life. Chapter 13, verse 18. It says the last phrase, and built there an altar unto the Lord. That was Abraham again. He was concerned about his worship with God. Let's go up to okay, then that brings us up to chapter 18. We know their journey as they were traveling through life and how Lot, they separated ways. Lot went one way and Abraham chose another way. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do, as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent and unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And we have Abraham running, preparing this food, and giving these strangers some food. And we know that these were angels, unaware, and they came to visit with Abraham. And I love verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide this thing from Abraham, the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. And this morning, I would just like to pull out that phrase, for I know him. Do you know, does God know you this morning? What would he say about you as he looks at your life? For I know him. How well do you know me this morning? See, when you know somebody, you become fairly intimate with them. You know them in a real way. You know of me. You know my name. But you really don't know me very well. I don't think you do. Maybe you know what I do for a job. But do you really know what I like? Do you know what kind of ice cream I like? Do I even like ice cream? You don't know me. But if you really know someone, your best friend, when you come to Tim's house, you're going to set out his best ice cream because you know Tim. You know Tim likes ice cream. I hope you do, brother. Whatever. See, knowing if God knows you, there's a relationship built. And Abraham had that kind of relationship with God. I'd just like to take you back to that thought of Abraham sitting in the door of his tent. And I can just picture old man Abraham sitting there in the door of his tent, and he's just pondering. What do you think he was thinking about? Do you think he had Fox News out, checking up the latest top 10 news stories of what was happening around the world? Of course, we know that's foolish. Maybe he had the newspaper. Didn't have newspapers back then. Here's my point. What do you think old man Abraham was sitting there pondering? Somehow I think he had God's word. Maybe it was the writings of Noah. I don't know. But he was thinking about God. He was thinking about how God had blessed him. He had that relationship with God. I don't think he was filling his minds with the things of this world. He was observant. He wasn't sitting there falling asleep. How do we know? Because he was looking down the road and he seen these three men coming. And he said, you know what? They're strangers. I don't know who they are. It's not my neighbor. It's not Lot. It's not uncles. I don't know these men. Who are they? And he got up and he went and he said, take a rest. He was observant to the needs of other people. But I'd also like to make a point here. That what did he do with these strange men? That he didn't know who they were yet. At least I don't believe he did. Some point in this story, he suddenly realized they were men of God. But at this point, they were strangers. And he said, what did he say? Come on into my tent. No, he said, go sit under the shade tree. And I find that interesting, that he wasn't just inviting strangers into his home. I've been reading too much into that story. Let's look at next chapter, a chapter over, that there's another man sitting in another tent door. Let's look at chapter 19. So we have Lot sitting in his tent door. Where's Lot? Chapter 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them arose to meet them. So we have another man sitting in another door, the gate, sitting in another door, and he was also observant. And he seen some strangers coming. And it says he rose to meet them. And he bowed himself to the, with his face to the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into my servant's house. And tarry all night. And I see a different reaction here of him saying, come on into my house. Just let's have a good time together. I want to invite you in. And I'm not saying we shouldn't invite strangers, but my point is, sitting in the door of my tent, being careful of what we invite into my life or into my tent. We know the story of Lot, how he invited these men in, and Sodom was such a terrible place to live, terrible, immoral. And the angel said, get yourself out of this place. I'm going to destroy it. And Lot tries to go get his family, and it says it just seems as they were mocked. Verse 14, Lot went out, spake to his sons-in-law, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. We have two men, Abraham and Lot, both growing up together, both making little decisions. What made the difference? Could it be way back that the one man was interested in his relationship with God? Remember how we read those verses about Abraham built altars and Lot just followed along? I'd like to make the point that this morning, each one of us comes a time in our life where we have to be responsible for our own decisions. We can no longer follow mom and dad. We can no longer follow uncle and his service to the Lord. Lot could follow Abraham and worship with him, but eventually he had to have his own altars. He had to have his own worship. He had to have his own relationship with God. Sitting in the door of my tent. That was kind of some preliminary thoughts that I wanted to lay down before we started looking at this. Of thinking about sitting in the door of the tent of my life. What kind of influence am I going to invite in? See, it's just those little things that we invite into my life. It was just the little decisions that Abraham made that changed his life. It was the little decisions that Lot made that just changed his life. Total two different courses. Sitting in the door of my home. I'm going to think about the fathers just a little bit here. I know it's not Father's Day, but fathers is a big deal to me because fathers are the ones that influence the churches. And we see so many needs, and I go back to the fathers. Fathers, are you sitting in the door of your home? Are you guarding that door and saying, I am concerned about what is the coming into my home? Do you think Abraham sat there as he was sitting at the door of his tent, and he would have seen a serpent, an old sand, I don't know what they have over there, a poisonous one. We'll call it a rattlesnake because we don't know what else lives over there. And he's seen this rattlesnake coming up to his tent door. Do you think he would have did something about it? Or do you think he would have just moved over and left it go right onto his tent? Sarah will take care of it. That's her problem. Of course not. Abraham would have killed that snake. Fathers, we have to be careful about the poison that's in this world. That we say, well, they'll take care of it. Are we sitting there observant or are we sleeping? It's just these little things. The little influences that we allow into our homes that poison. And it's hard to get rid of it. Turn with me to John 10. There's another man that talks about the door, the good shepherd. You know John 10. I'd just like to read those verses. John 10, verse 7 says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." I'm just going to stop there a little bit and just think about that Jesus is the door of the sheepfold. He is sitting at that door and he's being observant and he's guarding that door. He's letting only good things in and the bad things out. Verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am a good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine." I just like that picture of God being guarding that door of his sheepfold. He cares about it. He cares about the dangers that lurk out there. There's protection there. And it's the same way that we need to do for our families. We're talking to the fathers. That you protect your families. That you care about the dangers that lurk. You guard. What is a guardian? We're talking about the guardian of our homes. A guardian is someone that protects. I have a little story to illustrate what a guardian is. It's been several years, but I had a customer that called me. And they had some roof problems. They had a roof leak, and they wanted me to come out and take a look at why the roof was leaking. And I get these calls quite frequently. You don't know where you're going. You just have the address. And so I showed up at this place, and it was a beautiful mansion. It was beautiful. It was just, when you pull in, you're just naturally paying attention. And I said, wow, this is an expensive property. And I go up and I knock on the door, and you just never know who's going to. I don't know who this lady is. All I had was her name. And eventually the door opened, but just a crack. And this grumpy fellow looked out at me and he said, "Who are you?" "I'm Vernon Shank from Shank Builders. You called me to come look at your house, and I'm here to look at your, you got a problem with your roof, you know? You can show me what the problem is. I'll take a look at it." And he said, "Well, where's your identification?" I never had anybody question me that. I mean, I identified who I was. I forget if I had a name card with me. And he looked out and he looked at my van, and my van is lettered. It said who I was. And he said, "Oh, I see that your van says the same thing. Come on in." And he stepped out back, only to discover the lady of the house was standing there behind him the whole time. He said, "I'm the groundskeeper. Here's Mrs. I forget her name." And I suddenly realized Mr. Groundskeeper was the guardian of the home. I wasn't getting into that house until proper identification was issued. Until he verified that fellow looked safe. You can't verify that. But he was there to protect the lady of the house. And we took care. But he was the guardian. That's my point. And that's the dads. You need to be guardians of your home. Just not opening the door and say, "Come on in, come on in, come on in." But being careful and not opening the door to the influence that you want. Nothing can come past unless it comes past you first. And I go back to just seeing old brother Abraham sitting in the door of his tent. There was nobody coming in. Them strangers weren't coming into his tent until he invited them in. We need to be the same. We need to be asking questions. You see that stranger? Who are you? What are you doing here? Let's sit down, let's talk. But not inviting that strange influence into your home until you know what it is. I don't think as dads that we should be scared to close the door. I see so many dads that say, well, I can't do anything about it. Everybody else is. Well, this whole world's going to hell, brothers. We'd better be able to do something different than this world. We'd better be able to shut the door and protect our families. Don't be scared to do that. Don't be scared to shut the door to the world's influence. I have to use my imagination just a little bit. And I can imagine Ishmael got tired of being in the tent. And I can imagine that Ishmael got a little carrying on and he started to run around and make some noise. And Sarah says, Abraham, you've got to do something. Ishmael's bored. Ishmael was a normal boy, right? He needed some activity, needed something to do. What do you think Abraham's response would have been? Would have been, you know, the response of this world of just give him a movie to watch. Just give him something to watch. That'll keep him occupied. And of course, we know he didn't have movies, but what kind of a response do you think Abraham would have had to find his boy some kind of a good activity? I'm sure it was something that was upbuilding. The world that we live in just says, entertain them. Just give them something to do. Keep them busy. Keep them out of trouble. I don't care. I don't think Abraham had that kind. He was careful. He was concerned about the influence that was in his home. Still thinking about our families. And we're thinking about opening up the door to the influence of the world that's around us. I'd like to think just a little bit of where we take our families and what kind of influence that we open them up to. It's really easy to say everybody else is doing it, so I will too. But we have to be men of conviction. And it's just the little things that we allow our families to do or the places that we take them can begin a lifestyle that is hard to break. Titus 2:11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Just a verse that we are going to be different. We are going to live a different lifestyle than the world around us. We're not going to the same places for amusement. Where do you take your children, your families? And we're going to I'm going to have to stop talking to fathers. Then we're going to talk about to everyone. But I'm still focused on fathers here because I'm concerned about the leadership of fathers, the leadership that we give our homes. Where do we take our families? Do we just open our tent door wide open and say, whatever's out there, family, we're on vacation, let's have fun? We can go to the Ark, brother. I seen you were there this week. There are some good places to take our families, and there are some places that we should never take our families. The worldly amusements that's out there, the world don't expect to see us there. When I was a young person, there was a group of us young folks went to Busch Gardens. Now I would just ask you, should Christian people, godly men and godly ladies, be at Busch Gardens? I was. But I suddenly realized when I was there, Busch Gardens is all about Busch beer, right? That's why they name it Busch Gardens. And there was free beer. There was free beer to sample. As we went through the park, we did not. I want you to know that. But all of a sudden, I started to feel really strange that I am at I thought it was a park. And there's people, free beer sampling, just, you know, help yourself. I don't think I would go back to a place like that. Fathers, be concerned about the witness, the influence that you're opening up your families to. Turn with me to Genesis 16. I'm going back to the same account, a few previous verses. Genesis 16, verse 13. I believe this is Sarah speaking. Didn't write it down. But I like what she says. And she called the name of the Lord and spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? And just the thought that God sees me wherever I am, I think that realization should really temper what we do with our families. It's not that no one knows, but God sees where we take our families. God sees the influence of what we bring into our homes. God sees me personally. God sees my responses. God sees my secret desires. We know that. But just the realization that God sees and that God knows should temper what we do as leaders of our home. Now, I'd just like to think about all of us, that we all have our minds, and that we need to set personally in the tent door of our minds, of our life, of our heart. And it's my choice what I allow into my tent, into my mind, what I bring into my life. This is for each one of us, whether we're the men this morning, or whether we're the ladies this morning, whether we're youth, whether we're young adults. It's my choice what I will allow into my life. Are we going to be an Abraham that is careful about his tent, careful about the influence that comes in? Or are we going to be a Lot that says, come on in, and his life is destroyed? There's nothing there. Just small potential. Great, great potential. Great potential for both of them. But it was just small decisions that they made. We talked about Abraham a lot and how there came a time in Lot's life where he had to make his own decisions. Young people, there comes a time when you have to make your own decisions. Young marrieds, there comes a time when you have to make your own decisions. Middle-aged men, I suppose grandpas too have to make their own decisions. But it's so easy just to follow someone, but eventually life says you have to stand on your own convictions. Life will get you there. Do you have a relationship with God? What are you going to allow? We need to guard so carefully. The little cracks in my tent. I'm going back to the tent. Thinking of the tent is my life. The little cracks, the windows that are open will let the bugs in. I don't know if y'all have stink bugs up here, but it is just incredible how a stink bug can get into a house. I had people that want new windows, and they say these stink bugs are just terrible. And you tear out the old frames, and there's just stink bugs in every crack, hundreds of them. They find a little crack, and they will crawl in and crawl in and crawl. You don't even know they're there. This morning, that is the evil of the world. We'll find every little crack that we allow them into, and they will crawl in. They will crawl into our minds, they'll crawl into our heart, and they will cause all kinds of stench in our life. Unless we keep them out. We have to do our best to keep out the bugs. I'd like to talk about some of these bugs. These bugs that just come into our life unawares. And you probably guessed where I was leading up to this one. But the technology world that is around us. I see people just putting it into their hip pocket and they take it with them everywhere. And it destroys their life. It's an influence that they just welcome into their life. It controls their life. It consumes their life. Are we going to be the Abraham of old that is sitting there observant, paying attention, realizing the dangers? Or are we just saying, come on in? Technology's good. There's nothing wrong with having a good cell phone. But can it be controlled? Do you have the controls in your life to use it as a tool and not to allow it to consume you? It's just these little things. And I can look in my life and I can see how technology has changed my life. And I'm sure that you can look in your life and you can see how technology has changed you. The ease of communications is just so easy. The music. When I was a youth, I had to buy my music. Nowadays, you can stream anything you want to for free. Just because it's free, does that mean that it's good to listen to? I want you to stop and think about that. I had a brother from church. I was working with him, actually, and he said, well, he just signed on to Spotify. He said he wants to try it out. And I said, what for, brother? What do you really want to listen to on there? Well, I don't know. Another brother told him. We're talking about good, godly men here. So another brother told him about it. You know, it's cheap, and you know, you get all your music cheap. I said, well, I'm telling you, what kind of godly music is there? Now, well, he said, there is some. But how much isn't good? Is it the kind of thing that you just want to invite into your life? It's your decision. You're going to live with the results. You're either going to be an Abraham or you're going to be a Lot. The one is going to grow in their relationship with God, and the one is going to have a life of misery. Do we watch TV? Is that something that you get up in the morning and you tune in to find out what's the morning news? And I was shocked to find out that our brothers do that. The local TV station has an app. And so you can tune into their app and you can see what the morning news is. I suppose there ain't much difference between hearing the news and reading the news. But what kind of an influence do you just invite into your life, your tent? Do you stand on principle and say, I'm not going to have that in my home? It might not hurt me, but I'm going to just not do it. Or do you just say, everybody else is doing it? Hey, it's fun. It's good. Stay up with the latest. I really think technology is just like guarding the front door and leaving the back door hang wide open. See, we're all concerned about our spiritual life. We know that we need God. We know that we need salvation. We know that we need to be converted. That's why you're here this morning. It's because you want to grow in your relationship with God. You came to church. You're concerned about your life. I know you are. But yet when it comes to technology, we just kind of say, what the ministry don't know is okay. I'll live my life the way I want to live it. And God is not going to bless a life like that. That is just leaving the back door wide open to the filth of this world. So I think technology is one of the bugs that come into our life that can poison us, that can cause us to fail. The second one that I think we're talking about, the bugs that come into my tent door if I don't guard against, is the fads and the fashions of this world. The world around us just thrive on fads and fashions. When I was a teenager, my parents knew some friends over in England. And so we took a long flight over to England and we got to tour London. And one of the places I got to tour was the palace over there. They have all their royalty over in England. And if you've been following the news, some of the royalty got married, and people just love the lady. She's a fashion of this world. Kate Middleton. So whatever she wears, they want to wear. And she wears a beautiful polka dot dress, and within a few hours, sold out on the internet. I would hope, ladies, that your life is governed by something more than what someone else is doing. Not the fads and the fashions of this world. Not by what Meghan Markle's wearing. But you're concerned about what God thinks of our life. Modesty. This world doesn't believe in modesty. They believe in fads and fashions and showing off their body. It's summertime, and as men, we have to guard our eyes. But ladies, be aware that that is something you do not need to feed. We need to be modest. We have a lady several years ago came to our church, and she gave me a really good definition of modesty. She came from the world, and she said, being modest, she said, I just feel so quiet inside. Just being quiet. And I like that because before she was used to going out and getting the attention of men. And she said, now I'm just quiet. Modesty is just being quiet inside, not drawing attention to ourselves. We're talking about the bugs of this world, fads and fashions. For men. See, fads and fashions is not only a ladies' thing, but it's also men. That's why we don't wear t-shirts, brother. They're tight-fitting. They show off the form. Sleeveless shirts. I know you don't do that, but that's what this world thrives on. Showing off the body. The macho look of this world. We also need to be quiet inside. Keeping ourselves clothed well. We're thinking about the bugs that come into our life. Let's talk about the things that we should open up the door to. See, it's easy to focus on all the things that can crowd in. But what did Abraham, old man Abraham, what did he open up his door to? And I say he opened up his tent door to all the godly influence that he could get. He took his family time after time after time and built an altar and worshiped the Lord. Do you think you'll ever get to the end of this life and say, wow, I just wish I wouldn't have spent so much time going to church? Do you think anybody ever got to that point in life? I think the opposite is true, that they get on their deathbed and said, if I'd have just spent more time serving the Lord. If I could have just been more of a witness for God. These are things that we need to open up our door for. More Bible reading, more time for God. As I think about old brother Abraham, I just can't help but think that he was sitting there studying on God's word, on the principles of God, or maybe how God was leading in his life. He was concerned about other people. We can read further in this story, how he was so concerned for his brother, for Lot. Are we concerned for our family members that are falling by the wayside? For aunts and uncles, those need prayed for. We have old man Abraham interceding and coming before God and saying, but God, please be merciful. You need to be doing that. For those that need the Lord, interceding for the unsaved. I know we started with devotional meditation from Galatians 6, but I'd like to go back to Galatians 6, and I'd like to close with those thoughts from Galatians 6. The law of sowing and reaping. It just impresses upon my life time and time again of just the little things that we allow in my life. Whether it's the little fad and fashion, whether it's the little technology, whether just the little things, and how much it affects my life in a big way. The law of sowing and reaping is so true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Why would he start out by saying, be not deceived? See, it is so easy for myself to think that I can handle it. I'm not deceived. It's everybody else is deceived. You all can't handle it, but I can. I'm tough and I'm a man of God and I can handle some of the things that you can't have. And he's saying, be not deceived, brother. Vernon Shank, don't deceive yourself. You're just as carnal as anyone else. You have a sinful nature. You're prone to failure. None of us are as strong as we think we are. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The things that we allow into my life is going to grow and bring seed. The things that you planted in your garden this spring, you are now harvesting. And you know, we weren't surprised when we put corn seed in my garden and corn seed sprouted and up came corn plants. Wasn't surprised at all. I expected it. But why is it that as humans, we expect to feed my carnal life, but I'm surprised when my spiritual life can't grow. See, it's like me putting those corn seeds in and expecting to reap watermelons. It's not going to happen. But somehow I live my life that way, that I think that I can plant one thing and I expect my spiritual life to grow. Be not deceived, brother, sister. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, whatever you allow into your inner depths of your life, into your heart, into your mind, it's going to grow and bring forth seed. And you're going to reap. The reaping is always bigger than what you plant. And it's actually a very positive thing. If you sow to the spiritual, you're going to reap spiritual life everlasting. It's a blessing. It's a law that God has established that if you guard your tent door, that if you are very careful about guarding your spiritual life, God's going to bless you and you will reap tenfold what you ever sowed. But it'll bless your life so much. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life. Life everlasting. That's why we're living this life. That's why we're here. That's why we're so concerned about guarding our tent door. Because we're concerned about the life hereafter. We have heard of so many people just recently passing away, taking their last breath. If you were to take your last breath today, would you be happy with your life, the seeds that were sown? Would you be happy with the way that you've guarded your tent door? Would God be able to put a smile of blessing upon your life and say, "Welcome home, my well-beloved child"? Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Oh, dear Father in heaven, I just thank you that once again we could look into your word and be challenged. Father, I just thank you for the power that you have given to your people, that we can live above the sin and filth of this world. Father, I just thank you that you can help each one of your saints to live a victorious Christian life. We don't have to live in defeat. Father, I just pray that each one of us would guard our tent door, guard our thoughts, guard our lives. Father, help each one of us to realize the importance of what we allow to grow into our life will grow into a real crop. Father, help us to grow us seeds that are spiritual seeds, that we can reap a spiritual harvest and that we can be blessed and that you can be happy with our lives. Father, I pray a special blessing upon this congregation here, that you would bless each person here this morning, that they would grow in their Christian walk with you, that they would be real with you, and that this church's influence could reach out into this community and touch many lives and save souls before it's eternally too late. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.